Morning. Welcome to all. It's good to see you. Good to be together. Don't ever want to take it for granted. Well, let's turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. I was going to proceed on in 10, and then the faithful brothers Lee Dodd and Jeff Price reprimanded me. Said, you've not ended chapter 9 yet. We started on into 10 because of the divorce and remarriage subject weeks ago. But we don't want any of our Lord's words in Mark's Gospel to fall to the ground and be neglected. So, the end of Mark 9, two verses which are very unique, which when you just read them, they stand alone, and you immediately would say, what in the world does this mean? And so we have to find out what it means. Mark 9, verses 49 and 50. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness or its savor, its pungency, its power, if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? What good is it? Matthew's Gospel renders it. And then this exhortation, have salt in yourselves. And when Jesus says to all of us, you have salt in yourselves, that must be important. We better make sure we're salty. Pass the salt. So, have salt in yourselves and what? Be at peace with one another. Quite a passage, isn't it? I want to speak this morning on pass the salt, the saltiness of the Christian life. If Jesus told His disciples and us, you better be salty, everyone's got to have it, then this must be important, right? So let's see what is here. In one word, this passage is about salt. In fact, I think in these two verses, the word is used at least six times. Jesus at times makes these stark and even mysterious radical statements that just stand alone. And the gospel writers put them in sometimes in different order. Remember, for instance, in Matthew 5:13, what did Matthew record that Jesus said there? You are the salt of the earth. You are. Now, right in there he said, I am the light of the world, but he said, you are the light of the world. So believers are light and they are salt. Believers down here, tangibly, are the only true spiritual and moral light that is shining in this dark world. Paul said, among whom to the Colossians, I think it was, or maybe to the Philippians, about this crooked and perverse generation, world, among whom you shine as lights. And so, we are light, and we are salt, Jesus said. And we are therefore to have this reality of saltiness about us. This is imagery that Jesus is using. He's taken a common element from life that's always been around since man discovered it after creation. And this imagery of salt got brought into the Mosaic Old Testament sacrificial ordinances and sacrificial system. It became part of the Old Testament covenant of the offerings. And so, this is Old Testament imagery, and sacrificial language Jesus is drawing from when He simply says to the disciples, everyone will be salted. And make sure that you have salt in yourselves. You know, seven or eight of us might gather to cook steaks. And Philip would have the best seasoning, steak seasoning you could have. But unless every single steak gets seasoned with that, if one of them is left without any seasoning, everybody else is going to taste that flavor and experience it, but your steak is dull and flat because it doesn't have the seasoning. This is personal. The salt has to be in us and about our lives in reality. So, Jesus lists this imagery primarily from one Old Testament passage. And to understand what He says here, we have to go back there. So let's start in this by turning to the book of Leviticus, chapter 2. Because this is certainly where it comes from. This passage of Mark 9, 49 and 50 shows us something that's important also. When you read through the Gospels and you read a standalone statement like this, everyone's going to be salted with fire. Have salt in yourselves. You cannot ascertain the meaning of it unless you go do some searching, can you? You won't know what that means if you just read past it. You'll say, what in the world is He talking about? That everybody's going to be salted with fire. Is this talking about judgment? Is this talking about influence? Is this talking about devotion? Is this, and I'm told to have salt in myself, so what does it mean for me to have salt in myself? We have to go to the whole range of Scripture and see what the meaning is. We have to cross-reference and examine what would it have meant in the Old Testament economy. And so Leviticus 2, verses 13 through 16 show us. In fact, this passage has the fully pictures all that Jesus was saying here. So let's read it and notice the language, notice the different words, and we'll emphasize them as we go. This is the context of this. Moses is giving the laws for the grain offerings. There were many kind of offerings that were offered in the Mosaic economy. Various kinds represented different things. And this was a grain. There were laws for the sin offerings, for peace offerings. We could name all the offerings off, but that's not necessary. Chapter 2 deals with the grain offerings. And so, here He gives the requirements and the specifics of how this offering was to be made. So follow me and think about it, because this opens up the full picture of the spiritual reality Jesus is talking about in Mark 9. Verse 13. You shall season, notice that word, all your grain offerings with what? Salt. Every grain offering, Israel, that's offered has to be seasoned with one thing. What is that? Salt. Now remember, we're not talking about contemporary modern table salt. You can have table salt that sits in a salt shaker. It doesn't lose its potency. It could sit in a shaker for a year. And if you shake it out and use it, it's not going to have lost its potency. But the salt in biblical times did. It was more natural. It was of a different substance and a different nature. And the salt in the biblical times could lose its power. It could dry up. It could lose the characteristics that it held that made it work. And so this is the context of this. Moses said, you shall season every grain offering with salt. Notice this, you shall not let the salt of the covenant with your God, this covenant with God that you have, that's exemplified in the offering of the grain offering, you shall not let the salt of the covenant with your God be what? Missing. Don't let it be missing. Jesus said, have salt in yourselves. Don't let the salt be missing from the offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. If you offer a grain offering of first fruits to the Lord, you shall offer for the grain offering of your first fruits fresh ears, roasted with what? Fire. Jesus said, every one shall be salted with what? Mark 9. Salted with fire. There it is. Every grain offering shall be roasted with fire. Crushed new grain. And you shall put oil on it and lay frankincense on it. It is a grain offering. And the priest shall what? Burn it. Burn it. So here's this picture. This offering. A devoted offering. It had to be done exactly right if it was acceptable to God. Here's a devoted, covenantal, or biblical, if you will, offering that's devoted specifically for this purpose. And that offering must have these realities in it. Salt. And the salted offering is going to be offered by the priest, and it's going to be roasted, and it's going to be burned as a sacrifice to the Lord. That imagery is exactly what the Lord Jesus is speaking to the disciples in Mark 9. An offering that is salted, that's offered, and then it's burned up and dedicated. So, Jesus just says this to the disciples. Now, how many of them would have gotten it? How many of them would have said, oh yeah, Leviticus 2? We don't know. Maybe some of them would have remembered. But the Lord Jesus just, out of the blue, speaks this and throws it at them. He's drawing it from Leviticus 2. He was the lawgiver, the Lord Jesus Christ was. He gave it to Moses in the covenantal law as part of the sacrificial system. And here he is now, the Son of Man, manifested in the flesh as Jehovah. And he comes along at a point in time, he looks at the disciples and he said, everyone will be salted with fire. Have salt in yourselves. Salt is good. But if it loses its saltiness, what good is it? Have salt in yourselves. The Lord Jesus is telling his disciples that for them and all of his followers, Leviticus 2:13 and through 16, the spiritual reality of it will be fulfilled in every true Christian's life. Salted with fire. So let's see what the Lord says about this. It's a picture of the working of the grace of God and the grace of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's talking about. So beginning in verse 49, let's just see this. He says there, for everyone will be salted with fire. Now is that an exhortation or a question or a declaration? Which one? It's a declaration. He makes a categorical statement, a statement of fact, everyone will be salted with fire. Now some manuscripts read, every sacrifice will be salted with salt. That's how sometimes it reads. But here, Mark uses the picture of fire. Everyone. Jesus doesn't say every offering. He doesn't say every piece of grain. He says everyone will be salted with fire. So This is a passive thing in the sense this doesn't tell us to do anything. This tells us what's going to happen to any true disciple. This is the experience. This is the reality. This is for a person to see, am I even a disciple? Am I even a true disciple and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? If I believe I am, this will be my experience. Everyone will be salted with fire. Being salted, the certainty of it, the universality of it, that is, no Christian gets left out. No disciple is exempt from this saltiness, from being salted. It's going to happen. Now, obviously, we must stop and think what all would salt represent not only in the physical realm when it's used, but the spiritual implications of that. Well, there's at least three. Salt, number one, is a cleansing, purifying agent. It cleanses. It purges. It penetrates. It has efficacy. That is, it has power within it to affect whatever it touches. One of the first jobs that I had as a young teenager was in Guymon, Oklahoma. That was the end of the world to me when I was 14. And it didn't last long. I think I've told some of you about that experience. But I was working in a meat packing plant. And my job was to help pack the meat in ice for preserving it. And all the meat, every portion of it that came down the conveyor belt was fully covered in one thing. Guess what? Salt. It had been thoroughly salted. It was covered in rock salt and chunks of salt. And by the second day, I had blisters on both hands. And guess what happened to the blisters? They broke. And guess what all day was getting in those open blisters? The salt. I'm telling you, it burned. And I didn't last long. I was a coward. I couldn't take it. I bailed. I went home with Wilma Batson and got a job at a gas station back in Clarendon because the salt was too much for the sores. Salt penetrates. It has a pungency that what it touches, if it's something that is affectable, it's going to do its work. Salt is a cleansing agent, and it burns. It affects the meat, it affects the food, it affects what it touches. It not only is a cleansing agent, what else does salt do? For the meat, it was meant to be a preservative. Salt has a preserving element about it. It preserves the things that it's put on that it's intended to make it last longer. It influences and preserves things that it's on. And a third application, certainly which we like the best, what does salt do for food? It makes it flavorful. It influences food for the better where it's actually tasty. It's tasty. It makes it taste better. Well, those are basic realities of salt. But especially this picture in Leviticus 2, the fact that Jesus combines these words, or the Leviticus 2 combines these words, it will be seasoned and then it will be burned with fire. The Lord Jesus is picturing this reality. He's saying to the disciples, every one of my followers, every disciple is going to have this experience of my grace seasoning their lives. They're first of all going to be purified from the impurities and sin that has tainted their soul and their mind and their heart. Salted with salt. A purification is going to happen in every soul that's a follower of mine. We we ought to take heed to ourselves and ask ourselves this. I say I'm a Christian. I believe in God. I say I believe in Jesus Christ. I presume that I'm a Christian. I've been around this all my life. But here's the question. Has the seasoning grace of God in Jesus Christ come to my own soul personally, apart from anybody else? It doesn't matter who else's steak is seasoned. How about mine? Has the seasoning, cleansing, purifying grace of Jesus Christ come into me and washed me and purified me and made me different at all? Have I been seasoned with salt yet? This is what the Lord Jesus is saying. Everyone who's following me gets seasoned salt. Nobody's left out. If you hadn't been seasoned with cleansing and forgiveness and the power of grace has changed you where you're different and you're cleansed and purified, then you're not among His true followers. In a sense, this was Jesus setting before them an examination test. Everybody's going to be salted. Salted with what? Salted with fire. Now, what does fire represent in the Bible? It represents, in some cases, judgment. Fire was a judgment in different situations, but also in the sacrificial system, fire was a representative cleansing that made something acceptable to God. Fire, the priestly fire, consumed the sacrifice, and it was a fragrant aroma to the Lord. And in the Bible, fire cleanses. It purifies. It purifies gold. It purifies silver. Peter and others in the New Testament use the imagery of the fiery trials which are to test you and try you. And he says they purify us. So, have you been salted with fire? The cleansing work, the reality of the cleansing work of the Holy Spirit and His grace coming to you and affecting everything. He cleanses your soul. He cleanses your mind. He changes your views of things. He washes away your sin. He gives you a new heart. Within, there is a renovative change of life and heart, as if spiritual salt filled your soul and makes everything alive and clean. Everyone, every boy, every girl, every young man, every young woman, every man, every woman who is a disciple of Jesus Christ is salted with fire. The hymn writer put it this way, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Everyone will be salted with fire. Being salted, the certainty of it. It's universal. No true Christian escapes. Nobody is going to be in heaven that hasn't on earth been cleansed and changed and purified and made new by the sanctifying, salty power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God in the gospel. Have you been salted? Make sure. Well, secondly, then that's verse 49. Everyone will be salted with fire. You see, you don't even know what that means until you dig into it. You ought to dig into it. When you come to a verse like that, just Google. Everyone will be salted by fire and read some. Get a commentary. Get a cross-reference. Find out where salt and fire is spoken of the first time in the Old Testament. That's a hermeneutical meaning, an interpretive principle of the Bible. You go and you look where something was first mentioned. And then you'll begin to see the meaning of it. First mentioned, Leviticus 2:13. So that's the first thing. Everyone will be salted with fire. Then secondly, you have verse 50, and you have really two things in here. The first thing you have is a warning about saltless salt. A warning about saltless salt. Now, does that sound like a oxymoron? A contradiction? How can salt be saltless? Jesus said here, salt is good. But if the salt has lost its savor, if the salt, and in their day, remember, it could lose its pungency, and it's no longer real salt, and it's good for nothing. Matthew says, but to be what? Cast out and trampled on under the foot of men. Worthless. Saltless salt is fake and it's worthless. And it doesn't have the reality. Jesus said, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how could you make it salty again? When salt in the Old Testament era, when it did turn bad and it wasn't salty, they couldn't put the saltiness back in it. They couldn't change it back once it didn't have it. This is a warning to all those who have a profession of faith. Jesus is warning here about a profession of having salt, but you don't. It's a profession of faith without any reality of faith. It's a profession of faith that has no saltiness now. It's someone who says, yeah, I became a Christian when I was 5 or 10 or 15. Yeah, I have salt. But when people look at your life, they taste your life, they smell your life, you're influenced by them, there's no evidence of the reality of salt about you spiritually. A profession without reality. Salt that has no saltiness. None. What good is it? Such a profession of Christianity without the reality of it is worthless. That's what Jesus is saying. Worthless. Salt that has no saltiness and no pungency in it is worthless. Just throw it away. And Jesus is warning, a saltless salt is worth nothing. It will be tossed away. By implication, he's implying such people who have an empty profession and no spiritual reality of true spiritual salt, they're going to be discarded. They will not be there because they are not among my true disciples. This is a warning. Leviticus 2 gave the warning. It said, you shall not let the salt in the grain offering be missing. Make sure it's not missing. That's the same warning. The offering must have salt. It must be seasoned. Because it's a devoted sacrifice that is salted. That's the true Christian. What does Romans 12, 1 and 2 say? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself what? A living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable. That's a spiritual picture of Leviticus 2. We are now a living sacrifice offered to Him, but we must have our life seasoned with the real salt, the grace and forgiveness and cleansing power of Jesus Christ. No forgiveness without the cleansing and the sanctifying influence, the saltiness that comes with grace. Grace that forgives brings with it life-changing reality. No forgiveness without the life and heart change. So the warning here is, Jesus draws on this imagery and he says, that's my disciples. Everyone, do not be without the real salt. The grace that washes, that cleanses, that purifies, that changes, that preserves you, that affects everything. Don't be without that reality of grace. Don't just have the external. You've got to have the reality. Then the final thing he says here is the last the last sentence in verse 50. Read it there. Is it a declaration, or is it a question, or is it an exhortation? It's an exhortation in it. The Lord Jesus moves from declaration, everyone's going to be salted with fire, to warning, to exhortation. This exhortation to make sure that you and your life is salty. Are you salty? Are you salty? Jesus tells us, you make sure you have salt in yourself. Have salt within yourself, within your soul, within your mind, your heart, your life, your influence. A salty Christian, that's what we're to be. Have salt in yourselves. Grace is to fill everything in our lives. Everything. It's not compartmentalized. The salt in food seasons all of it. The salt, even put on meat, it penetrates to some level down into the meat. It doesn't just stay on the surface. It penetrates. Jesus says, my children, my child, my son, my daughter, you are to fully have salt, the spiritual reality and my grace, salting everything. No area withheld. No area dull and unseasoned. All of life seasoned flavorfully with the grace and reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you salty? Have salt in yourselves, He said. The responsibility. Now, Matthew 5:13 says, you are the salt of the earth. But every one of us who are grains in the salt shaker, we better make sure we're salty. Because we're to affect things. Our life ought to impact those who see us and watch us behave and how we live and how we respond. Years ago in the church here in Denton, there was a young married guy named Tim Massey, and he owned a radiator shop. And his brother-in-law, John Frank, they worked together in the radiator shop for a while. I was down there one day, I was helping them. And Tim's father was there, unbeliever. He was critical of Christianity. He kind of didn't like it, but he would come down there. And so I was helping Tim with the radiator once, and I hit my thumb with something, and it hurt real bad. Just immediately said, praise the Lord! And Mr. Massey later told Tim, oh, he was just faking it. If he had been alone, I know what he probably would have said. Well, no, because I do that at home. And so, see, what's in you will come out in life when it's tested. They said, stick John Bunyan, you prick him with a needle or with a knife, and he would bleed the Bible. When you're stuck with life's grief and heartache and sorrow and pressure, does the salt of grace flow out of you? Have salt in yourselves. Make sure. In fact, who remembers what Colossians 4:6 says? Can anybody quote it? Turn to it. You're going to like this. Have you ever noticed this? Lest you think I'm misinterpreting and spiritualizing this stuff. Would to God we would spiritualize things more. Look at Colossians 4:6. Let your speech be always what? Gracious, seasoned with what? Isn't that amazing? We can just read over that. Paul believes the same thing. Paul is telling us right there to do what Jesus exhorted us. Have salt in yourselves. Paul says, let your words and your speech always be what? Gracious. Don't ever speak rudely to somebody. When they're talking, don't interrupt them. Listen to them and wait till they're finished talking before you speak. Let your speech be always gracious with your children too. Don't speak mean and then act holy on Sunday. It doesn't work. Who do you think is going to notice that inconsistency? Let your speech be always seasoned with grace. Be gracious. Seasoned with salt. You see, Paul right there is giving the picture that the salt is penetrating, life-transforming grace. That is the way we're to be in all of life. Grace fills everything. And so it's supposed to more and more. That's why the exhortation, have salt in yourselves progressively. Get more of it. Get seasoned right. Don't be imbalanced. You know, you don't put a little seasoning on this corner of the steak and leave the rest. No. Equally, our lives evenly throughout. Spirit, soul, body, perspectives, motives, attitude, theological understanding, devotional life, your walk, your example before others, before neighbors and friends, how you conduct yourself in all affairs of living is to be seasoned with the salt of God's grace. Have salt in yourselves. And notice the last phrase there in Mark 9. Have salt in yourselves, and here it is relationally. Here's what the saltiness is like. Be at peace with one another. A few weeks ago, I preached on every relationship right. That's what Jesus is saying there. Have salt in yourselves, and this will work itself out horizontally, that you, because you have the grace of the saltiness in your soul, you will endeavor to be at peace with others. Paul said, be at peace with all men. As much as lies within you, as much as it depends on you, you walk in peace toward all men. Have salt in yourselves. How all does this apply? Time fails us. We couldn't even say it. It applies in every way. Our perspective, how we live and move and have our being in this world, how we relate to everybody ever in our life, from our children, our employee, our employer. As employees, any of us who have an employer, we ought to be seasoned with salt toward them. We ought to do the best job we can for them. We ought to be exemplary. They ought to say to themselves, if I had to lay off people, but I wanted to keep someone, they would be the ones I sure would want to keep. They're among the best. Life, all of life, in every way, as a student in school. Don't be a grief to your teacher, whether that's your mom or a public school teacher. Don't be a grief. Let your life and your student life be seasoned with salt. If you're a Christian, it's got to be. There's no area in life that this doesn't apply to. And it applies Sunday morning to Sunday morning, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Everyone will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good. But if you're saltless salt, you're worthless. Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we pray that we could be salty. We ask that the grace of the Lord Jesus and the working of the Holy Spirit would bring this cleansing, purifying grace of salt in our lives in every way. We pray that we could have salt in ourselves, that our speech would be always gracious, seasoned with salt. Lord, help us to have the savor. Help us to be a devoted sacrifice with the salt of your grace filling everything. Thank you for the words of our Savior and what they mean. Apply them to us. We bless your name today. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing hymn number 209.